So this month, all of our sermons have been on the Foursquare Gospel, considering the truth that Jesus is Saviour, Healer, Baptiser in the Holy Spirit, and Coming King. I think it's fair to say that many believers live forgiven, but they're not that many who live empowered. We may be saved, yet there are those times when we struggle. We might be redeemed, but there are still times when we are timid. We rejoice that Jesus has saved us from our sin, and rightly so. We should rejoice. We should be happy. But the Word of God, Scripture, declares something more. The same Jesus who died for us also longs for us to be filled, to be empowered. In our series of sermons today, we're looking at the Foursquare Gospel and the truth that Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. The title of my sermon is Clothed with Power, Jesus is Baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Let me say, this is not a secondary doctrine. This is real discipleship power. This is how ordinary men and women are transformed into bold witnesses for Christ. We live in a hostile world. We live in a difficult world. It's a world that's perhaps full of social media distractions. There are many who face anxieties. They worry about what's happening today, and they're worried about the future. And there is cultural pressure against holiness, cultural pressure against Christianity. We can't rely on our own strength. We can't rely on our own human ability. The Holy Spirit is God's provision for each and every one of us. As Christians in the 21st century, contemporary discipleship should be the same as it was when Jesus called his first disciples. But we let the world get in the way. We let pressure distract us. And instead of being the disciples that we've been called to be, maybe there's a few too rough edges for us. Perhaps we need to remember more often that the Holy Spirit is God's provision for us, that through the Spirit we are equipped to actually serve our Lord. He can give us moral courage in the workplace. He can help us to be patient in difficult circumstances. The Holy Spirit can give us a boldness to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And more than anything, we can persevere under persecution. Now, it may seem that the church in the West isn't that persecuted, but if you look at popular media, if you listen to the things that are said on television, on the news, there is an undercurrent of persecution there. Yet experience has taught us that where the church is persecuted, that is where it grows. So for us in the 21st century, discipleship is more than just knowledge. Discipleship for us must be Spirit-led action. We need to trust God in every circumstance and situation. Let me remind you of the words of Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than that I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." To give you some context, John the Baptist, he ministered during intense messianic expectation. The people were living under Roman oppression. They wanted something to change. They wanted something to happen. They were expectant that Messiah would come. Israel longed not just for forgiveness. They wanted deliverance. They wanted power. They wanted the circumstances to change. Yet John is clear when he speaks. He says his baptism, it's a symbol of repentance. But Jesus' baptism, that's a symbol of divine empowerment. The word baptize is baptizo in the Greek. It means to immerse, to overwhelm, to saturate. What John's talking about here is not just a sprinkle. not just something that's symbolic. He's talking about a life that is totally immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Spirit, fire often speaks of purification. Fire perhaps speaks of passion, power. But fire also reminds us of God's manifest presence. John is saying here, I can point you to repentance, but Jesus will clothe you with heaven's power. And that's the truth, still true today, that Jesus is the only one who can empower us through the Spirit. Why? First point, Jesus alone is the baptizer. John 1:32 to 34. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. Friends, there's something that we need to notice carefully this morning. It's not pastors or ministers that baptize someone in the Spirit. Churches, church methodology, church practices can't baptize someone in the Spirit. Methods don't do it. Only Jesus does. That should keep us Christ-centered, not experience-centered, Christ-centered. Knowing that everything that we have, all power, all gifts come through him. Author and preacher John Piper once said this, the Holy Spirit is not a luxury for the church. He is the necessity. I think Piper really hits the nail on the head here. The Spirit is not an optional upgrade. He is essential for our daily discipleship. He is essential for our daily walk with the Lord. Without him, we attempt to live in a way that we can't do in our own strength. Our natural strength will always fall short. But with the power of God in our lives, we can live the way that we're supposed to. Second point, the promise is for every believer. If we turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 and verse 8. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you notice the sequence that occurs here? First of all, if you're in Christ this morning, you are already saved. Already believed, already repented, already followed Jesus. And the second thing is, you are already commissioned. We've been told we will be his witnesses. We will be the ones who speak truth. And thirdly, but you are not yet empowered. The disciples were told, wait. Wait until the Father sends the gift of the Spirit. Now, the word power that's used there in verse 8, the Greek is dynamis. That's the word that we get dynamite from in the modern English. Dynamis, it's something that's explosive, something that's powerful, but it's an enabling power. It's not about personality, it's not about hype, it's not about hyper-driven emotions. It's about divine energy for holy living and for bold witness. That's why the Spirit is here. And this is something crucial for us as disciples in the 21st century. What we need to understand is that salvation is something that is instantaneous. But empowerment is something that's experiential, that as we grow closer to the Lord, as we continue to keep him at the center of our lives, the Holy Spirit empowers us more and more. And calling, well, calling can be something that is given immediately. We're called to follow. We're called to be disciples. But the power to do that is something that we have to receive. as a gift from our Father. I'm going to assume that all of you have got perhaps a washing machine in your house. 21st century. Now imagine that you were buying a brand new washing machine and you pay someone to install it and it's installed perfectly under your counter. The washing machine is designed to clean clothes, but you don't bother to plug it in. You get angry with the washing machine that it's not working. You shout at it. You read the manual. You even invite your friends round to admire this beautiful washing machine. But because you haven't switched it on, nothing happens. Sadly, I know some Christians who are like that. They've been installed in a church. They've been labelled as disciple, but they live unplugged from the source of power that is needed to make them go. Jesus is telling the disciples here, don't go until you're plugged in. Don't go until you've got the power. Do you remember the adverts for Duracell batteries, the bunny that kept going on and on and on? I always used to refer to Dave Saunders of Rochford Congregational Church as the Duracell bunny. We're talking about a guy who years ago was given a very short space of time to live, and yet his ministry carried on for at least 20 years after the doctors had said that he would die. He literally was the Duracell bunny. He kept going and going and going, but not in his own strength. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he was a person who even told his doctors when he would go for treatment, because he'd go off on mission trips around the world. He'd do church planting exercises. He would preach in multiple nations. And God sustained him. Just as God sustains us every single day. Every breath is precious and every breath comes from the Lord. To quote R.T. Kendall, we are as effective as Christians as the Holy Spirit is allowed to be powerful within us. We can quench the Spirit. We can stifle the Spirit. And these words from R.T. Kendall, they sting, but they should heal. The issue is rarely God's willingness. The issue is often our surrender. Oh, I'll give God an extra 5 minutes on a Monday afternoon. Oh, maybe I could go along to a midweek meeting if I'm not too busy. If we want to experience the fullness of the Spirit, we need to be willing to go where God has called us to go, to do what God has called us to do. Not live with reluctance, but live with openness. Then we'll truly experience the power of God in our lives. Third point, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is evidenced by transformation and bold witness. If you think about the situation in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Friends, Pentecost, it wasn't emotional chaos. It was a divine invasion. The power of the Holy Spirit came to dwell within believers. Pentecost, Shavuot, it was celebrating the giving of the law at Sinai. God then gave stone tablets for the people to know. But at Pentecost, he gave Spirit-filled hearts. Spirit-filled hearts to make a difference in people's lives. There's some key observations about this point. Suddenly, God moved unexpectedly. Yes, the disciples were told to wait, but they didn't know how long they had to wait. And then the Spirit comes. with a sound like a mighty wind. God's breath, ruach in the Hebrew. The fire, God's holy presence. And the most amazing thing about this verse is all were filled. Not just the apostles, not just the spiritually elite, everyone present was filled with the Spirit. The Greek phrase that's used here for filled with the Spirit, it means to be fully supplied, to be completely permeated, to be soaked, if you will. And the filling, it resulted in the supernatural speech, the bold proclamation of the gospel, and also radical transformation of the disciples. Jesus had spent 3 years with his disciples. He'd taught them. They'd seen him perform miracles in their sight. But they didn't understand fully what they had been called to do and who Jesus was until the Spirit dwelt within them. Think about Peter. Peter was once fearful. Peter was impulsive. And yet on the day of Pentecost, he became fearless. Faith, not fear. That's a motto that perhaps all of us should have. To trust the Lord in every circumstance and situation. Charles Stanley said this, "The Holy Spirit does not merely empower us to do things. He transforms who we are." We're transformed from the inside out. Transformed by the renewing of our minds, transformed by the presence of the Spirit. This is discipleship gold. This is truth. The Spirit is not merely for moments in church, but for transformation of our everyday lives, in our workplaces, in our homes, in the communities in which we live. The Holy Spirit empowers us. There was a young violinist who once stood before a great orchestra, absolutely paralysed by fear. And then the conductor stepped forward, lifted his baton and led. The same musician, the same violin, but under the direction and power of a master, the music soared from her violin. Church, the Holy Spirit for us is the divine conductor. Without him, our lives are just noise. But with him, our lives become worship. Not just in church, but wherever we are, whatever we do. We are meant to worship our Lord and Saviour. Fourth point, the baptism is a promise to be received, not a trophy to be earned. We are called to seek after the greater gifts. We are called to seek more of God in our life. We are called to actually place him at the centre of what we do. Acts 2, 38 to 39. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptised in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." A gift, not a reward. A promise, not a preference. For every generation, not just for the first century church. The Holy Spirit still moves today and empowers and blesses. And the phrase there, for those far away, that includes us here in the 21st century as disciples of Jesus. Maybe we're navigating digital overload. Maybe we're navigating cultural confusion. We will face spiritual oppression. But the Spirit empowers us to stand and to stand firm. Tim Keller said this, "The Spirit empowers us not simply to know the truth, but to live it." There's a difference between knowing something and living it, isn't there? Keller, He brings balance. See, knowledge without power, that leads to hypocrisy. And power without truth, that leads to chaos. But the Spirit gives us both power and truth. The Spirit enables, the Spirit blesses. There was a lighthouse keeper who once noticed that there were ships struggling in the fog. And the lighthouse keeper there in the lighthouse, he could go outside and shout at the ships, or perhaps he could blow a horn, or he could light a candle. But only when the lighthouse was fully illuminated could the ships that were facing danger navigate safely. The light needed to shine. And friends, the Holy Spirit is the light of our lighthouse. If dimmed, if the light of God is dimmed in our lives, then our witness is weak. But if the light of God is fully shining in our lives, God can use us to bring change, to bring transformation, to witness, to speak of truth. And if we allow ourselves to fully shine for Christ, countless souls can be saved by the power of the Spirit at work. Let me give you a gospel presentation. Power flows from the cross. Church, we should never separate Pentecost from Calvary. Jesus died for our sins. That was substitution. He was buried. He experienced the finality of death. And he rose again. Him rising again, that symbolized victory over death and the new life that is possible for all who believe in him. Peter says this: he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. The same Jesus who shed his blood for us to save us now pours out his Spirit to empower us. He continues to bless us day by day. But we can only receive the fullness of the Spirit if we accept the Lordship of Christ in our lives. Many may call him Saviour, but to actually call him Lord and mean it, to give him the authority over what we do, to die to self, to live for Christ, that is what we're meant to do. And the closer that we walk, the greater the experience of relationship we'll know. Jesus, our Lord, our Father, the Spirit, they're not distant somewhere out there. They're with us. The Trinity, in all of its fullness, in all of the glory, Father, Son, and Spirit, with us every day. So how do we respond? Well, I would suggest that even as believers, we need to repent. We need to remove any resistance that we've placed against the Spirit moving in our lives. It could be something small. It could be something that we think is so insignificant, and yet it moves us away from Christ. And if there's anything like that in your life at the moment, you need to put it aside and ask God to help you to be strong in his strength. And we need to surrender ourselves again. We need to yield control to Jesus as Lord and not just Saviour. We need to ask in faith. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples, to the believers. But maybe you are yet to receive the Spirit yourself. The Spirit works in different ways in each of us. But it is the Spirit that empowers us to live godly lives, to speak, to witness. So maybe today you need to ask in faith for the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh and anew. And then you also need to receive, not by striving, but by trust. Trust and faith in him as Lord. Friends, we can't receive the Spirit until we've received the Saviour. So we must turn from our sin. We must trust in his finished work. We must live in the forgiveness that is already ours, because Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Maybe this morning you feel that you're not quite right with God. Then take this opportunity to turn to him. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose for you. And he calls each and every one of us to follow him, that we might experience that blessing of relationship, the joy of knowing our sins forgiven, and the empowerment of the Spirit living within us. Friends, all of us need to repent, believe, and receive again. As I draw the sermon to a conclusion, let me remind you that we do not follow Jesus in our own strength. We follow him clothed with power from on high. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May I encourage you this morning, go from this place encouraged, knowing that Jesus saves, knowing that Jesus heals, knowing that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to honor and glorify God. Friends, in this coming week, walk boldly wherever you go. Live as a person who is transformed. Witness courageously to those that you meet. And depend daily on the one who gives you everything that you need to follow him. Trust him, love him, but don't settle for lukewarm Christianity. Don't settle for religion without power. Don't accept discipleship without the Spirit directing you from within. Today, may each of us cry out to the Lord and ask that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit afresh and anew. That he would fill us and transform us and use us for his glory, wherever that may be. So friends, go in peace, walk in boldness, be empowered for every good work. For Jesus is alive, he is reigning, he's continuing to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. He is our Lord, he is our Saviour. Amen.